attention. In my mind, this is the kind of question we should always ask ourselves. For example, if we're in a conversation or driving a car, our attention is needed. But in a spiritual sense, our attention is needed even more because as soon as we let our guards down, we fall even more into prey, into falling into sin. So with that, I want you guys to take a look at this picture I have on the board here. This gentleman here is thinking about 11 different things. His mind is in a completely different place. He's in Wonderland, or daydreaming, some may say. He doesn't even realize that he's getting ready to fall straight into a hole. That's how easy it is to fall into sin. So, with that, this is how I planned the lesson to go. It's supposed to be 3 points, but... what? This is how I planned the lesson to go. We were talking about just the 3 points up here, minus the fourth. But we're going to start off with that, with the first point. Then we're going to explain, we'll give examples together. And then we're going to tie everything up at the end. All right. So the first point we're talking about, we're asking the question, am I paying attention to God's word? By that, I mean, do we have an understanding of the scriptures? With having an understanding of the scriptures, that means we recognize the value and the importance that the scriptures hold. In previous lessons, we talked about before how someone values their phone. Like the first thing they do when they get wake up in the morning, they grab their phones, they search YouTube, they go on social media. They do that because that phone holds value towards them. Same thing vice versa. If the Bible holds value to you, you carry it wherever you go. You're constantly reading. You're constantly want to have it in your presence. Well, also, you recognize that this is like the Bible is God's instruction to us on how to live. It's the way that God communicates with us. So we need to recognize that the scriptures holds a whole lot of value. Moving on to the next point. In order to understand the scriptures, you have to know the definitions of the words that are being used. If you don't understand the definition of the words that are being used, then you're not able to understand the scriptures. Which I know it can be very difficult, and especially when you're reading the Old Testament. I know the Old Testament, I have trouble reading the Old Testament and understanding some of the words being used, which I recommend, what I do when I do my studies, I use a Vine's Dictionary, which I have here. This gives you, this has the definitions of the Old and the New Testament. I use it. I find it very beneficial as I do my studies and I do my readings. So I recommend to always have one of these around when you're reading and when you're studying. The next point I wanted to talk about is that we need to recognize who the writer is talking to. When we're talking about being able to understand the scriptures, we got to be able to recognize who exactly the writer is talking to. For example, I know we talked about in the past of how other churches and denominations, they teach about keeping the Sabbath or using the instruments, failing to recognize the audience of who that instruction was given to the Israelites in the Old Testament as far as keeping the Sabbath, which we no longer do that because it no longer directs us in that in the New Testament and for us in today's world. Just as another example, in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, as John prepares the way, he talks about the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Religions believe that they have been baptized with the Holy Spirit of fire, failing to recognize the audience in that. Like in the books of Acts, we know that Jesus, in the book of Acts, in the beginning of chapter 1, and above the book of Acts, we realize that Jesus talks about baptizes them right before he ascends up to heaven. That's the audience. That's who he was talking to. And then throughout that, wherever they laid hands on, throughout the books of Acts, wherever they laid hands on, the ones who had the Holy Spirit. Then in First Corinthians, it talks about how the Spirit of being baptized, well, having the Spirit and speaking in tongues and all that ceased. So audience is very key when we're talking about understanding and have understanding of God's Word and be able to pay attention to that. The next point I want to talk about is understanding the why. Why is the writer talking to only that individual? Not only just in that situation, but also ask the question why in all the scriptures as you read and as you get finished reading a book or a chapter or a paragraph even. Make sure you understand why did God say this? Why should I do this? Why should I follow this? Because if you don't understand the why behind, if you can't explain the why, you're not able to understand the scriptures. You're not able to spread it with the word and the gospel to others. Which leads us to my next point. Asking the question, am I paying attention to non-believers? One thing to notice about non-believers is that non-believers are not believers. Their attitudes are very different. Their understanding of the scriptures are different. At times, most of the time, there are going to be resistance towards you when you're expanding the gospel to them. So we need to keep in mind on their attitude. We need to be able to recognize where they're coming from. We need to recognize that they're coming from a place of hate or wrath, or even a place of genuine curiosity, because it's not all the times to where non-believers come from the place of hate. I know pictures have been painted as far as, you know, atheists and non-believers are haters, and there can be come from a place, but they're not always. Most times, they do come in place from genuine curiosity. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, if you guys like to turn there, you can. Let me get there. All right, Matthew 22 is a very well-known story that we have talked about it in the past before, but I think it paints a really good picture of how to exactly deal with non-believers as far as them coming up to challenge you and plot against you, like how the Pharisees plot against Jesus to try to disprove him. Just as atheists in today's world, they challenge Jesus. And notice how Jesus was aware of their wicked schemes and how Jesus still answered their questions. And notice also how Jesus answered their questions with accuracy. Not only did he recognize and realize what they were coming from, he replied, he gave them a response, and he answered it with accuracy. He was so accurate that the Pharisees was impressed, and they left him alone. And the story continues on with them continuing to challenge Jesus. But this is a really good reference as far as knowing how to deal with atheists who come from a place of wrath or hate or malice, is what the word is, whatever the whatever your translation use. We need just to be able to recognize that. So with that, we also need to recognize about when they come from a place of genuine curiosity, how to tell whether they are coming from a place of genuine curiosity. In John, you can go ahead and turn to John chapter 4, but But we need to make sure that our speech is always seasoned with salt. Just as Colossians 4 and 6 states, that we need to be gracious. We need to be seasoned with salt, even just as, because a lot of times the goal of the atheist is just to get you rattled, just to get you upset, just to get you to be shaken, and then show that you are no different from them. So just sometimes just keeping that in mind is a good thing. So throughout the Gospels, it's to take the note of the Sermon of the Mount as people crowded around Jesus and how they continue to follow Jesus. Just take some note in some of the Gospels and how they did that, after they followed and followed after Jesus, how they mentioned, it spread word of his miracles that were performed of Jesus. They spread his word, and they continued to follow him. They went up to him asking questions, and they came back. And his apostles, for example, as they followed Jesus, we know that they followed Jesus throughout his whole journey, asking questions. And then they went on to spread the gospel and to teach as well. That's the same thing in today's world. I know we all have that one coworker or maybe someone at school who talks poorly about everything, literally everything. But for example, you know, let's just say, for example, he comes up to you asking and wondering why you don't gripe, why you don't complain like everything else, like everyone else. Because most of the time, it's not just one coworker, it's multiple coworkers who talk very poorly about everything. And they come to you and they ask, well, how come you're not like that? And that's the moment that you become Jesus as far as his teaching and his wisdom. That's an opportunity that you can take advantage of as far as being able to spread the gospel and to be able to teach. Which leads me to my next point. We're asking the question, am I paying attention to myself or brethren? Now, I put these two together because in my mind, we should be able to see a reflection within ourselves and within ourselves and amongst ourselves. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 states that we are united in the same mind and the same judgment, meaning that our values and our beliefs of the Bible should be very similar. Now, in relationship with this, and the point we talked about earlier, while being able to have control of our emotions, I completely missed my place. Now, being able to have control of our emotions, like earlier with dealing with atheists and how we talked about how they like to get us rattled up and stuff. On the night of Jesus' betrayal in the book of John, chapter 18, starting in verse 10, there's a couple of things that I would like to take note in on this. Let me get caught up. Okay. There's a couple things I want to note. Starting in verse 10, there's Peter's emotions. In my mind, it seems as if his frustrations was being built up. So just imagine Jesus, Peter, who followed Jesus around throughout the Gospels, who followed him. Now he's seeing Judas, who also been with Jesus, betray Jesus. That's enough to drive someone to that kind of frustration, to where Peter grabbed up the sword and he swiped the guard ear off. That's enough to drive someone into frustration. But the thing that's wrong with this is that Peter was putting a stumbling block in front of Jesus. In the book of Romans, chapter 23, starting in verse 13, it teaches us not to put a stumbling block in the hindrance in the way of a brethren. In verse 16, it says that not to let what you regard as good to be spoken of as evil. In others. And I'm sure in Peter's mind, when he picked up the sword and he thought what he was doing was good, but in reality, he fell into sin. And this is how Christians fall victim of sin without knowing, because what they deem to be righteous and what they deem to be true is actually sin. So with that, I encourage you to watch out for each other and for yourselves, because as it was said in the scripture reading earlier, to be watchful, because he's always seeking for ones to devour. The devil is always looking, you know, he's always looking to drag you down to sin, whether that's on your job, you know, talking with others, you know, or even in the church. When we're giving, we were doing like the Lord's Supper, for example, and you're off thinking about a football game or what you're going to do after the service is over, or what kind of restaurant you want to go to. Things like that we Christians fall into sin without even thinking, without even realizing it. So we need to always make sure that we're asking ourselves, am I following God's word? Am I keeping God's word in mind as we walk and as we go through our lives as a Christian? So with that, that is the lesson of today. That's the lesson of today. Oh, my question is now, are you ready to be attentive? Have you been distracted by the world? If you never heard the gospel, we ask you to come up now and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior as we stand and as we sing.